This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brother Abu Bakr from Minnesota emails asking that he says that he works at a factory job and he has long hours and sometimes he cannot take off extended period of times for Jumu'ah. And in fact, he is saying sometimes he cannot even take a shower before going to the Jumu'ah. So he is asking what is the minimum amount that he needs to do for Jumu'ah in order for it to be counted as Jumu'ah and that he does not get into a lapse or a sin. And he wants to know what is the bare minimum. And he also asks what are some of the sunan and etiquettes if he has time to do this. Added to this as well, Sister Abida from location unknown emails saying that why isn't Jumu'ah obligatory for women? Why is it only obligatory for men?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
So I'm going to begin with the second question because I actually found it a breath of fresh air that a lot of times some of our sisters are always asking about, you know, certain quote-unquote privileges that men they believe have been given and they don't have it. Why can't we? Why can't we? Sister Abid is saying, no, I want to also do more and I want to be required for Jumu'ah just like the men are required. And that is something that is a breath of fresh air because frankly, many times in this modern as we know this movement of feminism, when people are renegotiating their rights and their roles and whatnot, too often some people involved in this trend, they concentrate on what they deem to be privileges. As I have given a whole talk before this, they are not necessarily privileges. It is that Allah has given each what is suited to them. But very few of them want to be given the responsibilities. And so Sister Abida wants to be given extra responsibilities as well. Well, we respond to this by stating, beginning with Sister Abid, we'll move to Brother Abu Bakr in a while. We begin to this by stating that there are textual reasons why Jumu'ah is not obligatory upon women. And there's also wisdoms. And so, remember, excuse me, remember that our Sharia is based upon textual rulings from the Quran and Sunnah. It is not based upon necessarily the wisdoms of those rulings. The wisdoms help us rationalize and understand. But sometimes the wisdom might not exist and the ruling still exists. We do not base the law of Islam based upon wisdom of an individual because wisdom can vary and sometimes be there, sometimes not be there. We do say that the default is that a ruling is wise for the majority of people. But that wisdom, that hikmah, might not necessarily exist on the individual level in each instance, yet still the general ruling would still be applicable. So we can never equate the what is called in Arabic the illa or the cause with the hikmah or the wisdom. The two are separate. And the ruling shall be based upon the illa, not upon the hikmah. The ruling is based upon the Quran and Sunnah or the derivation factor, whether it's ijma', whether it's qiyas, and it is not based upon the wisdom. And I've given a number of examples for this in the past, and any student of usul al-fiqh can look this up. So the textual legislation, the reason why women are not obliged to go for Jumu'ah is because there is explicit traditions to this regard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Abu Dawood, "Al-Jumu'atu haqqun wajibun 'ala kulli muslimin fi jama'atin illa arba'a." Jumu'ah is obligatory on every single Muslim who is living in a congregation, living in a city. He must pray Jumu'ah in jama'ah. He must pray Jumu'ah not by himself. There is no Jumu'ah by yourself. You must pray Jumu'ah in the congregation, but four people are excused, like the sick and whatnot, and the traveler, and one of them, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh, imra'a," a woman. So explicit hadith, which is an authentic hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, women do not have to pray Jumu'ah. And because of this, there is no difference of opinion whatsoever about this ruling. The famous scholar of early Islam, Ibn al-Munzir, he wrote one of the most famous treatises about ijma', about unanimous consensus. And he listed in this book what aspects of Islam everybody has agreed upon with no exception whatsoever. And so point number 52, وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَلَّا جُمُعَةَ عَلَىٰ النِّسَاءِ وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُنَّ إِنْ حَضَرْنَ الْإِمَامَ فَصَلَّيْنَ مَعَهُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ يُجْزِئُ عَنْهُنَّ. There is unanimous consensus. And this, brothers and sisters, is an evidence. Once you have unanimous consensus, it becomes binding. There is unanimous consensus that Jumu'ah is not obligatory upon women. And there's also unanimous consensus that if they attend of their own will and they pray, that that shall suffice them, and meaning they don't have to pray Dhuhr in its stead. So there is unanimous consensus that Jumu'ah is allowed for women but not obligatory for women. There is no difference of opinion, no two opinions about this. Now, some later scholars, unfortunately, they went to another extreme of discouraging women from praying Jumu'ah. And this was based upon their own cultures and the reality of their times, that women would not leave their houses except for necessities. And so this is their version of what, you know, they feel should be done. As for the wisdom of why women were not obliged to pray Jumu'ah, the wisdom is that really, and this is the norm of most of human history, was that women were not expected to participate in communal activities frequently. It was a different time, a different culture, different norms, and generally speaking, women were kept a little bit more concealed for their own protection. That is the way it is. I'm not endorsing it as being right or wrong. I'm simply narrating it as a factual reality of the past, that circumstances were different, and men and women each had a role to play, complementing the other. And generally speaking, the role of women was kept as minimal as possible for communal and public affairs, and generally speaking, it was tried to be as domestic as possible. And this is again a factual statement, and this is a reality for most of our history, that women played a more discreet role, not a public one, and therefore the notion of obligating women to come for the prayer, even the daily prayer, some ulama said it is obligatory, and even men, some ulama said, this is the minority opinion, nobody said it is obligatory upon women to walk in the crowd and the hustle and bustle of the people and to be amongst the men and to be visible. They wanted to not make this a burden, to make it obligatory, and so they did not make it obligatory upon women in this regard. Even Salatul Eid, the majority opinion is that it is not obligatory upon women, even though I follow the Hanbali school in this case. The default of the Hanbali school, it is obligatory upon women, Salat al-Eid. Twice a year, they are obliged to go and pray with the community. And that's the minority opinion, which I actually follow. The majority opinion is that even Eid is not obligatory upon them individually at the individual level. That having been said, it's not obligatory. But if a woman is working a regular job, and hence she's already leaving the house and being active in our modern societies, in this case, I mean, I cannot say it is obligatory, I cannot, a'udhu billah, change the sharia of Allah, but I can say that it makes no sense for her to then follow this concession and say, oh, it's not obligatory, if she is able to, if it's reasonable for her to be able to pray in a masjid. I would encourage her, I cannot say more than this, that if she's going to work 9 to 5, she's going to a corporate America or a corporate, you know, place, and she has a regular job and routine, then in this case, it is definitely good for her to once a week cut everything off and listen to a sermon, have her iman revived, be amongst the Muslim community. And so I will advise such a lady that if she is working a regular job, that she should at least, you know, be encouraged to pray Jumu'ah. And in that time frame, she will be reminded, you know, of Allah, learn something beneficial, and be with the community. And that's, you know, Allah knows best. It's not wajib even in this case. But I'm saying if she's going to be outside anyway, then why not also take advantage of Jumu'ah and benefit and get some reward, inshaAllah ta'ala. That is the sister's question. As for Brother Abu Bakr, who is working in the factory, and he is saying that sometimes he has difficulty taking a longer break. He has to have the bare minimum to go and come back. So he's asking, what is the bare minimum? So the bare minimum, dear Brother Abu Bakr, when it comes to Jumu'ah, is actually very easy. And that is that you must attend the entire khutbah, beginning from when the imam says assalamu alaikum until the imam says assalamu alaikum at the ending of the salah. From the beginning of the khutbah to the end of the two raka'at, that section, the default is that it is obligatory, and that if you are late to this, then you have fallen short. If you're late, at least you have prayed the two rak'ahs of Jumu'ah, but you have fallen short of what is the obligation. It is obligatory, it is wajib to attend the khutbah and the salah. In case you are not able to, really you are pressed for time, and you are not able to come to the entirety, may Allah forgive you. You should try your best to get time. In America, you have quite a lot of rights and privileges, but even then, I am aware that not all circumstances, some jobs and some professions, you cannot invoke religious freedom because of the nature of the job, that you have to be there in a certain time and place. So you try your best, dear Brother Abu Bakr, to attend the entire khutbah and the two raka'at. If you are really not able to, and you are only praying the two raka'at, this is definitely not ideal, and it will be less than what is obligatory, but it is better than leaving the two raka'at completely and praying dhuhr in your workplace. So I'm not saying it is permissible, but I'm saying in case, because I do understand, and especially some jobs, they are much stricter and they might just fire you and whatnot. This might be only your source of income. And by the way, as a general rule, this is to all the Muslims out there. If you are in such circumstances that you cannot go for Jumu'ah, and you have tried, and you're in a land where they don't allow Jumu'ah, or else you will lose your job. By the way, in America, it's difficult to do this. In America, generally speaking, you have certain privileges and rights to be able to get a little bit of extra time or whatnot. They can work around this. But even in America, not all the time and not in all situations is this possible. If circumstances do not allow you to go for Jumu'ah whatsoever, and you do not have enough of a critical mass in your own factory or whatnot to do a quick Jumu'ah, because you can do Jumu'ah literally in, you know, 5-10 minutes. You can, you know, go in a room and one person can read a 3-minute khutbah, 2-minute khutbah, you know, and lead a 2-raka'ah salah. If you have enough people, 3, 4, 5, 10 people, you can do this in your local place if you're not able to pray in a masjid. But if you're able, so if you're not even able to do that, and you are in circumstances that are really difficult, that they're not allowing you any type of Jumu'ah, then I ask you to try your best to find another job. But until you find another job, you are forgiven. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعا. Allah is not going to tell you to live on the streets because you cannot pray Jumu'ah. No, Allah is Rahim and Rahman and Ghafoor. And Allah Azza wa Jal understands your situation. Hate it in your heart. Don't like to be in that situation. Try your best to get another job. But in the interim and meantime, rather than be homeless on the street, you may work in such a job where you cannot pray Jumu'ah. Pray Dhuhr at your local time, in the lunch break and whatnot. But try your best, as I said, to work around it, and at least try to find, as I said, a Jumu'ah that is close by, where within the lunch break you can go, and from Jumu'ah, beginning of the khutbah to the end of the salah, try your best to do so. Now, as for other sunan of Jumu'ah, this is a well-known topic, and I'm just going to summarize some things that no doubt our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear a better garment, put on perfume. He would do ghusl. And by the way, ghusl does not have to be done right before you leave for the masjid. You may do ghusl even after Fajr of Jumu'ah. You may do ghusl in the early time of Jumu'ah, no problem. So you do a ghusl, it is sunnah to do, it is not wajib. Some scholars said it is wajib, but actually no, it is not wajib, it is sunnah to do. And you should come early. The earlier you come to the masjid, the more rewards, but all of this is sunnah. And you can pray 2 rak'at as well, or more than 2, as many as you want to pray. And by the way, the question regarding the number of sunan before and after Jum'ah is one which all of the 4 madhabs have a slightly different answer or opinion. So there's lots of different opinions about the sunan of Jumu'ah in terms of prayers. The position of the Hanbali school and Ibn Taymiyyah and others is that there is no sunnah ratiba before Jumu'ah, and that after Jumu'ah either 2 or 4 may be prayed and should be prayed. So before Jumu'ah, no sunnah ratiba. After Jumu'ah, either 2 or 4, depending on whether, again, these are very minor differences, and it's all sunnah in the end of the day. No scholar says it is obligatory to pray before and after Jumu'ah. This is all what are the sunan. Also of the sunans of Jumu'ah as well, is that one should recite Surah Al-Kahf as well, if one is able to do so. And there are other sunnahs, you can read about them, but these are all perfections. You asked about the bare minimum, and so I have given you the bare minimum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon you.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.